Preparing to commune with God this morning, we are called to be at peace with God and with one another. So as a sign of that being at peace with one another, let's stand and share the peace of Christ. Hug a neck, tell somebody you love them, and tell them the peace of Christ be with you. The peace of Christ be with you. The peace of Christ be with you. Peace be with you. Are you sleepy this morning? Are you sleepy? Peace be with you.
Please stand and sing with us number 613, O Thou Who This Mysterious Bread.
Break, return.
Amen. Please continue to stand as we say together this historic confession of faith, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. And now if the children will come forward, they can have a special time with Miss Terry.
Because Gigi wasn't talking about enough last week. That's a miracle, isn't it? Got some feedback on me, Keith. All right, good morning. I have my little red bag, and you know what that means. It means I got stuff, right? I got way too much stuff. All right, look at this right here. What is this? Storage bowls, right. Sit up. Storage bowls. Any of y'all have any of these? You got storage bowls? Yeah, way too many of them, right? I know, we do too, no doubt. What do we do with these storage bowls, B? We put food in. What kind of food? Food. Usually it's leftovers, right? Yeah, all kinds of leftovers. You know, a lot of people will cook huge, huge meal, and then they'll put it back. And they'll eat leftovers all week long. I think I'd get a little bit tired of that, don't you? I'm not real good with it. I'll eat leftovers one time, but I'm not real good after that. I'm ready for something else. You know, there was a story about this lady who her neighbor said her family wouldn't eat leftovers at all. So if they didn't eat it, they just threw it away. Well, one night, her neighbor came to her and had this big plate of these beautiful steaks that they had cooked. And she said, "We've got these, and we are not going to eat them, so we thought we'd bring them over for your dog." Well, you know what she did? She heated them up and fed them to her family. She wasn't about to give those to the dogs because steaks are still good the next day, for sure. All right. Our Bible story this morning tells us about a time when Jesus and his disciples had some leftovers. It's a familiar story, and we've talked about it in Sunday school before. It's the feeding of the 5,000. Remember that story, B? I bet you could tell me all about it, couldn't you? I started a story in Sunday school this morning, and she told me everything I was going to say, so I guess I tell the same ones, don't I? All right, Jesus was talking to a large crowd of people, and it was getting close to dinner time. And he looked out over the crowd, and he turned to one of his disciples named Philip, and he said, "Where are we going to get bread to feed these people?" Philip looked at him like, "Are you kidding?" Well, he probably didn't say that to Jesus, but I'm sure that's probably what he thought. And he said, "Even 8 months' wages is not going to buy enough bread to feed all of these people. So what are we going to do?" Well, Andrew, another one of Jesus' disciples, said, "Well, we've got a little boy here that's got 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fish, but that's not going to feed 5,000 people. And you know what Jesus said? He said, bring it here. And he did. And he gave thanks over it, and he did what?
Left over.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. He fed 5,000 people. He broke it up in little bitty pieces, and God blessed it. And he fed 5,000 people, and not only did he feed all those people, he had leftovers, didn't he? He did. He had leftovers. He said, gather all the pieces that are left over. We're not going to let anything be wasted. And they gathered up 12 baskets full of food. There are a couple of important lessons that we can learn from this today. All of us could learn a lesson like the little boy did, and he didn't have much, but he shared what he had. And even though we may not have a lot of money or a lot of things, we can still share with other people and share with God. And another lesson is that God blesses everything that we do. He gives us everything that we need. And when this happens, what do we do with the leftovers? Just like Jesus, we gather them up and we share them with other people. So that's what we need to remember, okay? That God wants us to love other people just like he does. And he wants us to follow in his steps. All right, let's bow our heads. Dear Father, we thank you for all of your blessings. Help us to be generous in sharing with others. Amen. Now, Wayne's going to play a little song that I want all of us to sing, and it's called I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. Ready?
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have
I have a little something for you that you can work on the lesson, okay?
Thank you, Miss Terry. Part of our sharing as Christians is sharing the things that we're rejoicing about, that we might lift one another up, and also bear one another's burdens, share those things that are burdening our hearts and minds. So what are your joys and concerns this morning?
The PET scan last week showed no further cancer. They couldn't find any cancer anywhere else in Allison's body. We will be meeting this week. I assume they said they'd call Monday with the time with the Thompson Cancer Center to start radiation and what they're calling endocrine therapy, which is some kind of medication. I'm not real sure, but no, there'll be no, just lost the term.
Chemo?
No chemo. No chemo. So good news this week.
Praise. Thank you. I'm thankful to have survived a week of taking care of the 3 older grandchildren. We considered it a huge victory when all 3 of them were passed out in the back seat about 2 minutes into our drive home from the lake one day. So we still got it. All right. Well, let us come to God in prayer with the assurance that God loves you more than you know. Let us pray. God in heaven, we give you thanks that you are creator and that as creator, you are also provider. That you didn't just make us and then step back and watch, but you are intimately involved with our lives, providing for our every need. Help us, give us the grace to receive all that you would like to give to us. All the physical, emotional, spiritual, mental provision that you have in store for us. Forgive us when we think we're doing it on our own and we don't need you. Forgive us when we forget that you are our provider. And forgive us when we just lose our way for whatever reason. We lift up our confession out loud in these now silent confessions of our hearts and minds. Wonderful God, we thank you and praise you that as far as the east is from the west, that is how far our sins are removed from us. Thank you that we can talk to you, tell you everything, and receive your love and forgiveness. We lift up our rejoices this morning, and we praise you, and we ask you to be with Parker and this person in UT Hospital and ask for the blessing of your healing, your presence. We ask that you continue to be with Alice through her various treatments and challenges that are coming, and praise you that there is no cancer. God, we all have concerns and worries, because that's life. If you're breathing, you got something going on. And so I ask that you be with each one of us. Help us and minister to us. Minister to each one in the way he or she needs. That we all might live life in the fullness and abundance of knowing that you are our provider and giver of all good gifts. We thank you, we praise you, and now we pray as the disciples of Jesus were taught, saying the prayer called our Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now as our ushers come forward, the scriptures remind us to not neglect to do what is good and to share what we have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Paul writes that in the letter to the Hebrews. Let us pray. God, help us to say yes to your invitation to participate and to act and to share, that your kingdom may come on earth. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Please continue standing and sing number 641, Fill My Cup, Lord.
Lesson this morning is from the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verses 1 through 21. We had a sneak preview of it from Terry. After this, Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up the mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. When he looked up and saw a large crowd coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we going to buy bread for these people to eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they among so many people?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now, there was a great deal of grass in the place, so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were satisfied, he told his disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over so that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they began to say, "This indeed is the prophet who has come into the world." When Jesus realized that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. When evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into a boat, and started across the sea to Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea became rough because a strong wind was blowing. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near the boat, and they were terrified. But he said to them, "It is I, do not be afraid." Then they wanted to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the land toward which they were going. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Holy God, I ask that as I stand in this space, in this place, that you will show up through me, I ask that your Holy Spirit will mingle between my lips and your hearers' ears so that your word will be heard, your good news proclaimed. I ask that you speak through me, and if not through me, in spite of me, but that your word be heard and that your people's hearts might be touched. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. There are a lot of passages in Scripture about food. Church people love to eat. Methodists are especially good at it. When I went to seminary at Duke, I started in the middle of the year in January, and so I had been there about 3 months, and then I was sent to a small town to live with a family and work in a church for the summer. It was called Field Education. And everybody warned me, you think you know about the freshman 15? You just wait. They were threatening me like my Italian nonna would threaten. I'm going to feed you. You're going to explode all over the wall. Church people, especially Methodists, like to eat. And food is really, really vital for community. I mean, it makes sense, especially as a part of a covenant community, a community where we make promises to live and behave toward each other in certain ways. You get to know people at the potluck. I mean, it's really hard to keep your fancy schmancy kind of I got it all together facade when you got a big wad of corn stuck in your teeth from the corn on the cob. You just can't maintain your propriety. And it goes even deeper than that. Eating together is an important spiritual reminder that we all need. It's a basic fact. We all have to eat in order to survive. Eating together is a great equalizer among people because we all have hunger. We all have to have that physical nourishment. And that's why there's an emphasis on food and eating in the scripture stories about God's covenant communities. The Israelites in the Old Testament, the disciples and Jesus followers in the New Testament. Food is at the center of so many scriptures. God's people stay spiritually grounded by remembering all the different stories about food because it reminds them that God is the provider. Food is at the center of so many high points. The creation, where God sends Adam and Eve in a garden and gives them fruit trees to pick from. The Passover meal, the manna in the wilderness, the law's emphasis on clean and unclean foods, the emphasis on leaving, when you harvest, leave enough for poor people so that they can eat too. The Lord's Supper, and finally Peter's vision in Acts of a sheet being lowered down and there's no longer a distinction between clean and unclean food. The early church's issue of whether or not to eat meat sacrificed to idols and heaven as a banquet. From beginning to end, the scriptures have so many key stories about food. Food is intimately involved in physically and spiritually sustaining us as God's people. But in order to be nourished, we have to participate, right? It's not enough to just go to the grocery store. You gotta put the food in the buggy and pay for it, bring it home and eat it. The creation story, God provides, but Adam and Eve had to plant and harvest and work the soil. In the Passover, God provides, but the people had to offer a sacrifice and choose to mark the doorposts of their homes. In the manna, God provided, but the people had to gather it. In the gleaning, God provides, but when we harvest, we have to leave some, not hoard it. And in the Lord's Supper, the Holy Communion, God provides, but we have to receive it. We have to take it in so that we can go forward from the table as a person who's part of a very special community called the body of Christ. And in Peter's vision of the sheet, God provides, but we have to live out the truth that all people are welcome and there's no such thing anymore as unclean food or unclean people. Holy Communion is really a synopsis of the whole Christian faith. It's a fourfold framework for what it means to live into being a disciple, to live into being a follower of Jesus. Notice the way the text I read this morning is written. Number one, Jesus takes the five loaves and the two fish. He looks up into heaven, and number two, blesses the food. Then he breaks the loaves, gives them to the disciples, and the disciples disperse them to the crowds. And number four, they ate. We take the bread, we bless the bread, we break the bread, we eat the bread. And this is just a little like cheat sheet for life as a Christian. When we take the bread, when Jesus takes the bread, he's modeling for us that it is given. It is from somewhere else. It is provided. And it's a reminder that my life is interdependent with God's life and with your life. I can go buy bread, but somebody else made it. I don't have to grow the wheat and grow the chickens and crack the egg, whatever goes in bread. See how lost I would be? I used to make bread, but then we would eat it. It would make we made sourdough bread when we were first married, and it would make three loaves a week because, you know, you got to keep feeding that stuff and making it. And we would eat one loaf right out of the oven. And we could not sustain that because we're going to explode all over the wall. So when we take the bread, we realize we are reminded that we are provided for. It's basic. It's a counter to the radical individualism that we face in the world. It's a counter to that. I need air to breathe. I don't make air. God makes air. God provides. It's a basic assumption of the Christian walk that God provides. And food is one very real, at least three times a day, tangible reminder of the grace and provision that God gives us, physically and spiritually. Food reminds us to open more than our mouths. It reminds us to open our very selves to God's presence and let God provide for us. Number two, bless the bread. Be thankful. The word Eucharist, which is the Greek word for this meal of Holy Communion, means thanksgiving. That is the attitude of the Christian life. The Christian's approach to life is thankfulness. Give thanks in all things, Paul says. Give thanks for the provision. Number three, break the bread. Sharing is a choice. When we break the bread, we have a choice to make. Am I going to eat it all myself, or am I going to share it? And in this scripture, Jesus models the basic assumption, the answer to the question. As Christian disciples, we are called to break the bread and choose to share it. Jesus shared it with the disciples shared it with the crowd. You know, we all know somebody or have seen people who appear to have it all, but they're sad and lonely and empty. They're just not happy for whatever reason. And it's true. You know, I love to joke around and say money can't buy happiness, but it can buy me a sports car and pull right up next to happiness. But we know that the reality is a deep happiness and joy is a spiritual thing and doesn't come from the sports car. It pulls up next to it, but it doesn't come from that. It comes from God and its relationship with God. And it comes from sharing. It comes from the relationship that happens when we share food together. If we only eat the food and let ourselves get physically nourished, well, we get the physical benefits, but not that deep spiritual satisfaction and happiness. God gives us free will. God gives us the freedom to ignore the call to share. But the more we are aware that God is the one who provides the food and the grace, then the more likely we are to share with others who are hungry for food and for grace. When Jesus shares what's been offered to him, his sharing moves the crowd, moves the disciples, and they share as well. And when everyone shares, there's enough for all. This table is a great equalizer for human beings. Everybody gets the same. Everybody gets enough. Everybody gets to come. There's no in or out. It is true economic justice. And number four, eat the bread. You know, we have a lot of baggage as Christians sometimes around communion. I remember early in my ministry, we were serving at a church, serving communion in Knoxville, and this little boy, he must have been about five, and he grabbed a big old chunk of bread and he dipped it in that cup and ate it and with gusto. And his father was just all so worried about that. And he was, you know, standing in the grin and grab line after church. The father's like, "Oh, I'm so sorry." And I'm like, "No, your son gets it." And the guy said, "You know, I just have such feelings of unworthiness." I'm like, "Well, then you need to learn from your son. It's not about our worthiness. It's about God's grace, God's provision. Grab it. Eat it with gusto." If you were sitting at, what do you call it, Mama? Mine was Nono and Nana. Those are Italian for grandmother and grandfather. Mark's had a granny and a granddaddy and a Mama and a Papa. So if you go to your Mama's and she had been cooking for like 3 days and she had made not only your favorite dessert, but your sibling's favorite dessert as well, because she wanted everybody to be happy. And you pulled up to that table and you sat down and you took one little tiny crumb. "Well, thanks, I'm done," and pushed away from the table. What do you think Mama would say? "Come back here, put your butt back in that seat." What are we saying to God when we only want a little crumb of grace? When God's put out the feast, we're invited to eat the bread, to participate, to be provided for. Communion is the ultimate sign of God's provision. The body and blood of Christ available to all. When we eat the bread, we're agreeing to participate in this body. We're saying, "I'm all in. I'm an extension of God's miracles on earth," because it's the miracle that happened after they ate. Eat and receive. If you receive, you're invited to live a life of sharing bread and grace. In other words, you're sent forth from the table to meet a miracle provider for someone else. A miracle happens when we walk the fourfold framework of the Christian life. Take the bread, bless the bread, break the bread, eat the bread. The miracle occurs as they share what's been provided. God provides, the disciples are a continuation of the provision as they provide food for the crowd. They have to participate to do their part by bringing what they have, however meager, and when they share, a miracle. Everyone has more than enough. The disciples were asked to take what they had in the baskets and distribute those things among the 5,000. And they obeyed. The multitude was fed. and there were leftovers. To whom will we carry the leftovers of God's provision for our life? That is our invitation as we come now to this Eucharistia, this great Thanksgiving. Will you join me in this ancient prayer, praying to God in heaven, a prayer of thanks and praise for the provision of God in our lives? The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always in the power of your word and Holy Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup. He gave thanks, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Amen. And now I invite those who are helping to serve to please come forward. The blood of Christ shed for you. the blood of Christ shed for you. Christ our Lord invites all to this table. The only requirement is that you can answer this question in the affirmative. I desire to draw closer to God through Jesus Christ. That's it. No other requirement. So come, the table is prepared. Come with joy.